2017 is a very significant year in church history, both locally and internationally. 2017, the month October to be precise, will mark the 500th anniversary of what many acknowledge as the commencement of the Protestant Reformation in Europe. It will mark that time when Martin Luther, who up until that point in his life had been a monk and a priest of the Roman Catholic Church, well, October 2017 will mark the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg, and that act is acknowledged as the act which led to the exodus from the Roman Catholic apostasy and the establishment of Protestant churches throughout the continent of Europe. It has, and I believe rightly so, been described as the greatest move or the greatest work of the Spirit of God since the days of Pentecost. Our presbytery now has established a committee to oversee how we as a denomination will mark and celebrate that anniversary that will take place in the month of October. However, as we think about this year of 2017, it also takes on something of an anniversary year and celebration year for us locally in the congregation here in Bethany. For 2017, I believe it will be the month of July, early July, that will mark the 50th anniversary of the Constitution of Portadown Free Presbyterian Church, or as it would later come to be known as Bethany Free Presbyterian Church in Portadown. I'm tempted to ask for a show of hands of anyone who may have been there at that gospel mission and also the Constitution, but I'll not do that this morning. However, with this milestone in view, my mind was drawn to the words of verse 32 of Hebrews chapter 10 as we come to consider a motto text for the year, and particularly the first part of verse 32, where the apostle declares or says, "But call to remembrance the former days." Now, in the context of these verses, the apostle Paul was speaking to warn of the danger of departing from the faith, apostasy. He speaks of those who had a knowledge of the truth in verse 26. "For if we sin willfully after that, we have received the knowledge of the truth." So he was speaking in the context of some who had a knowledge of the truth. And in verse 23, he speaks of those who had even made profession of the truth. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith." You see, some had departed from it. And he's saying to the Hebrews, hold fast the profession of your faith. There were those who had a knowledge of the truth. There were some who had even gone as far as professing the truth. But there were those who had turned away from the truth, denied the truth. And in verse 29, we are told they had trampled underfoot or trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing and done despite to the Spirit of grace. And men and women, that is apostasy, a falling away, one who knows the truth, and maybe at some stage in their life's experience had a profession to the truth, but that's all it was. It was a profession, not a possession. And yet there come comes or came a point where they turned away from the truth, they denied it, and they finally and fully rejected it unto the perdition of their souls. Now, to encourage the Hebrews to continue in the faith of the gospel and not to turn back, the Apostle Paul exhorted them in verse 32, but call to remembrance the former days. God's people individually and collectively are to remember the former days, days of conversion, when we first came to know the Lord, days when we were established in the truth of the gospel, days when we were blessed and led of the Lord. And we are to remember those former days in order to encourage us in days of hardship and days of difficulty, that we might go on with the Lord and go on in the future in the faith of the gospel. Therefore, I feel that for our motto text this year, we can do no better than call to remembrance the former days. And today I want to call to remembrance those days and simply seek to answer the question, why is there a Free Presbyterian Church in this town of Portadown? Why was the Free Presbyterian Witness commenced in this town in 1967? I want to call to remembrance those days this morning. And I want you firstly to consider the beginning and the beliefs of the Free Church. Now, to answer the question why there is a Free Church in Portadown, you need to go back even a little further beyond 1967, right back to 1951, when the denomination began and commenced in the village of Crossgar. 1951, the Irish Presbyterian Church in this land was at the height of a doctrinal and theological controversy and compromise. It was in that year that the Irish Presbyterian Church elected Professor J.E. Davey to the position of moderator, the church's highest office. Davey was the principal and a lecturer in the Assemblies College in Belfast, where prospective ministers were trained for the gospel ministry. In 1927, when Davey was a younger man, some of his students brought a heresy charge against him, alleging that he taught and that he believed false doctrine, doctrine that was contrary to the scripture, doctrine that was contrary to the gospel, doctrine that was contrary to the Westminster Confession of Faith. That subsequent trial went right to the heart and went right to the General Assembly, the ruling body and highest court of the Irish Presbyterian Church. In the subsequent trial that followed, the General Assembly acquitted Professor Davey on the counts of heresy that were brought against him. And I say this, and I say it as honestly as I can, they acquitted him not because he was innocent, but because many in the General Assembly at that time believed the very same things that Davey believed. And because he held such a high position, it would have been an embarrassment to convict him of heresy. And therefore they acquitted him, even though, and I want you to listen to this carefully and understand it, they acquitted him even though in his own writings he denied the virgin birth of Christ. He questioned and denied the deity of Jesus Christ, the fact that he is God. He denied and questioned the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. He denied other gospel fundamental truths like the imputation of our sin to Christ at the cross and the substitutionary death and nature of Christ's atoning work at Calvary. And I think I need to point out today, for the benefit of us all, but particularly our younger folk and our younger members, that to this day, that denomination still stands over the acquittal of Professor J.E. Davey. And it was in the year 1951 that he was elected to the highest office in that church. And while that denomination upheld a man who denied the gospel, there were little pockets of believers here and there, first of all in Crossgar, then in Ballymoney and Belfast and Resharkin, who wanted to separate, who were disillusioned at the gospel compromise, and they wanted to separate. They wanted to have and be part of a church and a church body and a grouping, a denomination that would uphold the teachings of Scripture and the gospel, that would contend for them, that would proclaim them. Doctrines like the full inspiration of the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine. Men and women, this church was founded on the belief that this entire book from Genesis to Revelation is inspired of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God that so-called scholars can pick and choose what is the Word of God and what was the opinion of man. This book is the Word of God translated into our mother tongue. This church was founded upon the belief of the substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 verse 5 and 6 tells us He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our sin was laid upon Him and He bore it away as the substitutionary Lamb of God. And it's only by having our sin laid on Christ that our sin can be dealt with. This church was founded and had its beginnings in the fundamental doctrines not only of the inspiration of Scripture, the substitutionary nature of Christ's atoning death, but the justification of our soul by faith in Christ alone. Romans 5 and 1. Being therefore justified by faith. We read in this very passage, verse 38 of Hebrews 10, the just or the justified one shall live by faith. And it isn't the charitable acts that we do. It's not our church attendance or baptism at the font or the tank that justifies, pardons our sin and justifies our soul. It is the act of faith in Christ and His sacrifice alone that justifies and saves the soul. That's the only way you can be right with God. And that's been the message of this church from 1951 right up until now. And may it ever continue to be so. This church was founded on the doctrines not only of inspiration, substitution, justification, but what about regeneration and sanctification? That is, that when a man or woman is justified by faith, there is a change that takes place within. It's described in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The Holy Ghost makes a true child of God, a new creation. The old desires, the old longings after sin, they pass away. All things become new. He is a new nature. A desire after godliness and righteousness and holiness, and the Spirit of God sanctifies or sets that individual apart to live a life that is pleasing to God. You can't be justified and not sanctified. And that's the message of this church. If you're trusting in Christ as your Savior, then you will live a life that is holy and pleasing and godly in the sight of God. But this church was also founded to uphold not only the doctrine of inspiration, substitution, justification, regeneration and sanctification, but the glorification of the saints and the damnation of sinners. Men and women, there's an eternity. There is a world to come. The Bible speaks of heaven, and heaven is real. And it speaks about those in Romans chapter 8, whom the Lord justifies, them He also glorifies. He takes our spirits to heaven when we die, and we are perfected in holiness. And at the time of the resurrection, our perfect spirits will be reunited with our bodies that will be made incorruptible and immortal. And we shall forever be with the Lord to live with Him in glory forever. But those that are not saved, those that have not been justified, those that have not been sanctified and regenerated, then they will face the damnation of hell. As true as heaven is real, hell is real. And those who reject Christ, those who trample underfoot the Son of God and reject the gospel of Christ and turn from Him, trample underfoot the blood of the covenant that alone can forgive and wash away our sins. The Bible says they will be doomed for all eternity. They will perish. I have just briefly tried to summarize for you how this denomination began in this little province, the great compromise that there was, and how in 1951 there were little pockets of believers here and there who wanted a gospel preaching church, and the Free Presbyterian Church began, and in 1967 it made its way then to Portadown. The beginnings, call to remembrance, the beginnings and the beliefs of this denomination and this church. And may we ever remember them and uphold them and seek to proclaim them as the gospel of Jesus Christ and rejoice that there is a congregation who were willing to associate themselves with those who stood against the compromise and the apostasy and the declension in the land at that time and is still very evident in the land today. But I want to call to remembrance, secondly, not only the beginning and some of the beliefs of this church, but let me call to remembrance, secondly, the burden and the blessings that the Free Church has and has enjoyed. You see, the Free Church commenced in a spirit of evangelism with a burden to tell sinners of Jesus Christ as the only Savior, and to seek to win men, women, and boys and girls to Himself. It was a gospel mission that brought things to a head in Crossgar in 1951. The local mission hall in that village had planned an old-time gospel campaign for that year. The guest preacher was to be a young, fiery evangelist by the name of Ian Paisley. At that time, he was the pastor of a little independent work, the Ravenhill Evangelical Mission. And he was the guest preacher to be the guest preacher at that gospel mission in Crossgar. However, as large crowds were expected, the mission hall committee felt that the mission hall would not be large enough to accommodate the crowds. And so they requested the use of Lasara Presbyterian Hall as it was larger than the mission hall. That request was granted by the local session as members of the session were also on the mission hall committee. However, when the local presbytery, the Down Presbytery, discovered who the preacher was and the fact that he was not afraid to preach against the apostasy within the church, and not afraid to declare the gospel as it truly is revealed in Scripture, they closed the church hall down to that gospel mission and to that preacher. And it was then that there was an inquiry. There were elders who were suspended. And it was then that the elders of that church resigned and the Free Church began in Crossgar in 1951. But it was a gospel campaign that really brought about the commencement of the Free Presbyterian Church and witness. And it was a gospel mission that was really to see the commencement of a Free Presbyterian Church in this town. I am reliably informed I wasn't even about in 1967, never mind being imported down in 1967, but I had a little chat recently with at least one individual who was there. And I am informed that there were three local Christians in this town. They were attending the Free Presbyterian Church in Armagh. And they had a vision for this town, their town. And they wanted to have a gospel mission in this town. And so they requested that the minister of the Armagh congregation at that time, that he would give consideration to having a gospel campaign here in this town. And that the guest preacher would be that same young fiery evangelist that had preached those years ago in Crossgar, Dr. Paisley, who had become the moderator of the denomination. That gospel mission took place in late June and early July. It has come to be known, and many of you will know much more about it than I do, but it has come to be fondly remembered here as the Brownstown Mission. And the tent was situated on the Brownstown Road, just where the younger folk would know now where the P&G store is. And I am told that over 100 souls were counseled about salvation as a result of that gospel mission that Dr. Paisley conducted there. And just a few weeks after that, a Free Presbyterian Church was constituted in Portadown. And the meetings were moved firstly to the town hall and then to Corcree and Orange Hall. And Portadown, Free Presbyterian Church that would afterward become known as Bethany, was constituted in early July 1967. I hope the session don't mind, but I think I would be at liberty to say the session have planned a gospel mission for the month of June to mark that occasion, and we look forward to that. You see, just as the older generation and just as the church began with a burden for the souls of men and women that they might hear the gospel, free from being watered down, free from being contaminated with false doctrine or with the confusion of the age. Just as there was a burden for men and women to hear the gospel then, so I challenge the congregation this morning, do we still have that burden that men and women will hear their need of Jesus Christ? They have a soul to be saved. And it's the most important thing and the most valuable thing that the men and women in Portadown possess, their soul. For Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Have we a concern? Oh, it's for that reason that we continue to seek to be an evangelistic congregation, to conduct gospel missions, have times of gospel outreach. Because we have a concern and a compassion for the souls of men. And I challenge God's people this morning. In the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. You see, as Jesus looked upon the multitudes, he saw them not as trees walking, but he saw them as men and women who were scattered, having no shepherd. And men and women, if the people in our town are going to be saved, if they're going to get to heaven, then they're going to get there by the gospel. They're going to get there by being saved through the gospel and by the gospel. And wasn't it the Lord Jesus who challenged us and said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And he told them to start at Jerusalem and then move out to Judea and Samaria. And listen, our Jerusalem is Portadown. Our Jerusalem is our hometown. And that's where the Lord wants us to not only start, but to have a continued burden and vision for the souls of men and women in our town. May we be able to say, as it was 50 years ago, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's a power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And you know, as the Free Church commenced in the spirit of evangelism, taking its stand on the cardinal fundamental doctrines of the faith, in that spirit of evangelism, God came and God blessed it. And it grew from just those three or four little congregations in the early 50s. And particularly in those mid-60s when Portadown was one of those churches in the mid-60s. There were churches that popped up and were constituted all over this province. And truly we can say the Lord has honored and the Lord has blessed the stand and the evangelism of this church. I say that, and I say it that it might humble us. Not that it might make us proud, but that it might humble us to continue in the doctrines of the gospel, taking our stand for Christ and seeking to further the message of the gospel, that sinners would be converted and added to the church. Call to remembrance the former days. We've sought to call to remembrance the beginning and some of the fundamental beliefs of this church. We've sought to call to remembrance the burden and the blessings that God gave through evangelism and the spread of the gospel. Let me say thirdly and in conclusion this morning, can we call to remembrance the battles and the bravery, particularly of the early years and the early founding fathers of our denomination. You see, the Word of God tells us in the little epistle of Jude in the third verse that the church and the children of the Lord, they are not only to believe the faith and they are not only to seek to spread the faith of the gospel, but they are to contend for the faith. Jude verse 3, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares." And it tells us in verse 4 that ungodly men who turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, they crept into the church to turn away and to corrupt the gospel message. And therefore Jude writes to say that you're not only to believe the gospel and seek to proclaim the gospel, you're to contend for the truth and the purity of the gospel. And it was in that spirit that our early congregations took their stand against the compromise, the spirit of ecumenism that was seeking one church and unity, particularly with the Roman apostasy. And they bravely, at personal cost and at the expense of many times having their bearing reproach and having evil spoken of them, that our founding fathers determined that they would not only believe the truth, but that they would contend for it, no matter what it costs. You see, if the church doesn't contend for the faith, it is not fulfilling its ministry. It was the Apostle Paul who said to the Ephesians that we're not to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But he said, rather, we are to reprove them. We are to expose them. We are to speak against them. We are to seek to correct them and to show the truth. And that was the spirit. Our founding fathers realized there was a battle to be fought for the truth of the gospel, that the souls of their children and the generations to come relied upon them contending for the faith. And therefore, bravely, they battled for the Lord. Can I remind you this morning that the battle is still to be fought? We are still living in days of compromise, in days of confusion. The ecumenical movement is still pursuing its agenda of one church unified with Rome. There is great confusion abounding today in relation to the very substance and nature of the gospel. There is confusion in what we might describe the easy believism gospel, where people think that as long as they have a head knowledge and a profession to something that resembles Christianity, they'll be all right and they'll get into heaven, when the Bible tells us men must repent and believe the gospel, be born again of the Spirit of God and be made new creatures in Christ. There are battles to be fought. And if we as a church and a congregation, and I say to the free church as a denomination, if we are to fulfill our ministry in this generation as faithful men of God did in the past, then we must enter into the battle and bravely take our stand, opposing all error, wherever it may come from, whoever may seek to espouse it. We must bravely take our stand against all error and compromise and seek to proclaim the doctrines of this book and the gospel of the Bible as the only way that sinners can be saved and the only hope for men and women getting to heaven and walking in fellowship and communion with the Lord. Call to remembrance the former days. They may have been difficult days, as Paul alluded to in our text. Days he spoke of fighting great afflictions. But men and women, Paul reminded the Hebrews that it would encourage them and help them to go on with the Lord. And it would help and encourage them to press on with the Lord when they call to remember those former days. May this text, may our blessed history be much upon our hearts and our minds in the year that is to come. And may the Lord give us not only the burden that our forefathers had, but may He grant to us something of the blessing they experienced. Would you not only call to remembrance the former days, but would you cry for their blessing, and would you continue in their ways throughout the year of 2017?